Cheesehead Nation. Welcome to the Cheesehead TV postgame show here on CheeseheadTV.com. The Packers beat Brett Favre for the first time as an opponent. The Packers win today 28-24. Thanks for joining us today. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. What we're going to do is we're going to recap some of the scoring, go over some of the statistics, and then it is time to analyze the game. You can join us by calling into the show in a little bit, but first, let's get down to the nitty-gritty and recap some of the scoring here this afternoon. Packers take a 7-0 lead early in the first quarter, actually. More towards the end of the first quarter, about 5 minutes left. Brandon Jackson, a 1-yard touchdown run. 7-0, Green Bay. The Vikings tie it up with 1 minute, 11 seconds left on the clock in the first quarter. Percy Harvin, a 17-yard touchdown run. Ties it up, 7-7. In the second quarter, Packers retake the lead. Andrew Quarles, a 9-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers, makes it Packers 14, Minnesota 7. Vikings get right back into it with about 10-16 in the second quarter. Adrian Peterson gets a touchdown run, ties it up 14-14. And then, right before halftime, the Vikings take their first lead of the game, 14-17 on a Ryan Longwell 28-yard field goal. In the second half, the Packers get on the board first. Greg Jennings gets a 14-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. Packers go back on top 21-17. Then the defense starts to come alive for the Packers. Desmond Bishop has a 32-yard interception return. Packers go up by 2 scores, 28-17. In the end of the third quarter, Randy Moss gets a 4-yard touchdown pass from Brett Favre. Makes it 28-24 Packers. Just a 4-point deficit. A 1-score game, but that is all the Vikings could get from there on out. Packers win 28-24 final. And I'm getting reports that Brett Favre has been booed as he walks off the field for perhaps his last time. Just getting all sorts of tweets here, folks, as I'm looking at them. Some noteworthy things as we recap the game. The Packers are now 2-11 in 4-point games or less in close games. Of course, they were 1-11 coming into this game. Everybody pointing to Aaron Rodgers and his statistics. Thank you, A. Biederman, for tweeting me that information. Also, Brett63088 on Twitter telling me the Packers only had 2 penalties for 20 yards in the game, an overlooked factor, but nonetheless big. Green Bay's number one fan telling me on Twitter as well, the next time Favre comes to Lambeau, possibly when his jersey gets retired. Can Packer fans see that day? Can you see the day that Brett Favre gets his jersey retired? That moment couldn't come soon enough when Brett Favre first announced his retirement from the Packers, when he had the retirement press conference crying. That day couldn't come soon enough where his number would be retired by the Packers. I think the Packers were ready to do it right then and there. Of course, there was those reports that they were, you know, offering $20 million to do all sorts of like fan interaction and autographs and whatnot, and now seeing Brett Favre and his jersey retired, just I can't see it right now for years down the road. And that would be even more the case if he so happens to, get involved with this Jen Sturger thing, and he's found that, boy, he did send these text messages. Of course, just coming out today that Favre admitted to sending voicemails to Jen Sturger, although not necessarily the text messages with the pictures in it, though. Going over some statistics today. The individual statistics from a Packers point of view. Aaron Rodgers completes 21 of 34 passes for 295 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions, a passer rating of 84.8. So Aaron Rodgers getting the close win today, and the in the win and loss column, people say that's all that matters. Wins and losses, even though Aaron Rodgers had a very shaky first half of the game with those two interceptions, really put the Packers, that's why they were in a hole in the first half, at the end of the first half when they were down 14-17. Just passes that should not have been thrown at all by Aaron Rodgers. 9 interceptions on the season now. 2nd in the NFL. Of course, Favre came right up with them. And as I was telling Jen Latta, as we were tweeting back and forth of Jen Latta of Fox 6, hard to believe that Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers would be 1-2 in the NFL in interceptions. I don't think anybody thought that coming into this season. Anybody. Hard to believe. In the rushing department, Brandon Jackson leads the team with 13 rushes for 58 yards. Aaron Rodgers, 3 for 14. And John Kuhn, 7 for 12. Receiving, the noteworthy aspect of the night, Donald Driver does not catch a pass tonight. Does not catch a pass. 133 straight games for Donald Driver. That streak is now done. Without a catch. Was only targeted once. We'll get to that a little bit later. In the good news department, James Jones is your leading yardage leader in the receiving department. 4 receptions for 107 yards. Greg Jennings leads the team with in catches, 6 for 74, and of course a big touchdown. Brandon Jackson, 3 for 46. Don Lee, 2 for 27, both coming on tight end screens. Jordy Nelson, 4 for 25. And Andrew Corliss, 2 for 16. And again, Donald Driver without a catch. Injured, of course. He had some quad issues that limited him. But still, you would have thought they almost could have got him the ball at least one time. But I'm sure Mr. Driver is happy with the win and would sacrifice that any time at the expense of getting one catch to continue his streak. As sad as it is to see that come to an end. Interceptions. Big part in the game, Desmond Bishop, A.J. Hawk, and Nick Collins all notching interceptions for the Packers. And the Packers only get one sack on the night, coming from Jarius Wynn. Only one sack. 6 pressures, 6 quarterback hits, but only one sack on the night. Of course, that belies the importance of getting pressure on Favre late in the game, getting some hits on him and some pressure, pressuring him into some interceptions. And with that, we're opening up the phone line here, folks. The number is area code 646-797-2909. I think we'll get it up on the screen here, but one more time, 646-797-2909. Can you believe it? The Packers are in a tie for first place in the NFC North. They are 4-3, and the season is far from over. This gives them a lot of momentum, being just a conference game, a division game. Even though the Packers are not where you probably thought they would be at the beginning of the season. That it doesn't matter. They are 4-3. They're tied for first in the NFC North, and they're playing just as well as any team in the NFC. It seems like nobody wants to be good this year at all, anywhere in the NFL. The Saints getting trounced today. The Baltimore Ravens giving up 34 points to the Buffalo Bills, needing overtime to get by them. Yes, Baltimore won, and credit them for that, but, you know, 34 points to the Buffalo Bills. Wow. And we have our first call here. We'll answer it right now. Hello, you are on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who is this?
It's Dale Zalata, buddy.
Dale, how are you? I imagine you are very good right now.
I'm doing good. I'm a little liquored up, but I wanted to say some things like I like to do. The interceptions by Aaron, the first one to Jared Allen, that was all on Aaron. The second one, it was a 50-50 ball. I think he was throwing it to point out the fact that his wide receiver was getting interfered with. Like, hey, ref, look at that, where I threw it, that's where the interference was.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work out. It didn't work out. But we got to Brett, and that's so huge. And Brad Jones got to him. I forgot Brad Jones was on the team. He still tweaked his ankle. I was very excited.
Dale, you know what? I'm going to do something that's going to make you happy here. I'm going to join you, too, in the drinking after a big win like this. Listen for this. So I'm going to drink to this win with you here. But, you know, absolutely correct about Aaron Rodgers being guilty of that first interception that went to Jared Allen. That just should not have been thrown at all. The Packers have such a hard time with screens. It's just frustrating, isn't it?
It really is. And actually, like, we don't really run that many, but this week it seemed like we threw a ton. And when we did throw a screen, it was like, hey, Coon, you're a fullback. Let's do that, because that makes sense. But this week we were actually getting it to Jackson. And Jackson, he's shifty. He's got some moves. And, you know, other than the interception, the screen plays were on it.
Yeah. And Brad Jones, he's, you know, you're right. He doesn't make his presence known much. He has been pretty good against the run, surprisingly, which he doesn't get a lot of credit for. But no, you're right. I mean, when he came and he put that hit there on Favre, that pressure, I mean, you know, that it was really surprising, because it's like he's invisible. I see exactly what you're saying, and they need to get more out of Brad Jones.
I agree. One more thing, because I've got more drinking to do. I just wanted to point out, last week I was I was very frustrated with Mike McCarthy's play calling. I'm crying for a balanced game, please. And even this week, Brandon Jackson only ran the ball 13 times, 58 yards, 4.5 average. On the other side, Peterson, only a 4.7 average over the 4.5 for Jackson, a little bit better, but Peterson ran it 28 times over Jackson's 13.
Yep.
We need to run it just a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's all I really got to say. I look forward to the rest of the show, brother.
Sounds good, Dale. I'll address that here, but thanks for calling in. So my thoughts on the Packers rushing the ball, it is hard to blame them with the Vikings secondary in the state that it is for going to the air as much as they did. I can't blame the Packers for airing it out. You know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he had two interceptions and those are on him. But, I mean, with the Vikings secondary, you had to test them, and the Packers did to quite a large extent. And they were successful more than they weren't successful this evening through the air. You know, Aaron Rodgers getting the two touchdown passes. And they had some nice running near the end when they had to in the second half. I Brandon Jackson, that 11-yard run comes to mind. The Kuhn with the first down conversion, even though John Kuhn only averaged 1.7 yards per carry tonight. He had that nice first down, kept the chains moving. And I tweeted this once during the game. There's this old maxim that good teams, this is from Football Outsiders, good teams do not establish the run early in the game. Not to say that a good team can't, and there's certainly exceptions to the rule, but by and large, successful teams do not establish the run early. What they do is they milk the clock late with the run. And that's what the Packers did tonight when they had to. Now, certainly they were nothing special with the run tonight at all, but they were able to milk it a little bit at the end with Jackson and Kuhn a little bit there. And Rodgers getting some key scrambles tonight as well. And they were short a couple times. And those replays that you're just agonizing over as they show the instant replay on television, and you're wondering, did Rodgers stretch out far enough to get that first down? And John Kuhn, when being stuffed originally on the line of scrimmage, but had some second effort and just wasn't enough. But anyhow, I can't blame the Packers for only running it however many times tonight. And the Packers, you know, they had their own troubles stopping the run. They could not stop Adrian Peterson tonight. You know, I normally don't go over the opponent's stats too much, but I'll just try to look up here quickly what they did in the rushing department. Adrian Peterson, 28 carries for 131 yards, 4.7 yard average. That's exactly what you want out of your leading rusher. You know, over 100 yards, over 4.5 yards a carry, which is fantastic. He got a touchdown. Percy Harvin, of course, very dangerous. 3 carries for 41 yards whenever he gets his hands on the ball. The Packers couldn't stop him at all, no matter what he did tonight. Percy Harvin in the rushing department, Percy Harvin in the receiving department, Percy Harvin in the return department. He's a thorn in the side, and the Packers got to get that shored up the next time they play them in the Metrodome, or whatever the heck it's called now there. Toby Gerhardt also 5 carries for 24 yards, and, you know, in his limited action, did pretty well for the Packers. I'm looking through some of the tweets on the live blog here. Molly Mag tweets, if that was Favre's last game at Lambeau, I'm glad he remembered which team he was on. Too bad he wasn't wearing our colors. So, anyway, we'll take another call here. Hello, you are on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, Brian, it's Jersey Al here.
Jersey Al, good day to you, sir, and I take it you are enjoying the win.
Yeah, certainly much better circumstances we saw this time, right?
What's on your mind?
a couple of good things. Brandon Jackson, you know, I mean, I've been nothing but the biggest critic of Brandon Jackson, so I have to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
And say, you know, this was the Brandon Jackson I wanted to see.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, hitting the holes with authority.
Yeah.
Sorry?
No, I'm just agreeing here with you, Al. Brandon Jackson, 13 carries for 58 yards, 4.5 yards a carry, and a long of 14, and just some really nice runs today when he got his opportunity.
Yeah, hit the hole hard, though. You know, he didn't, like, dance around wondering, do I go here, do I go there? There were a couple of plays, including the touchdown, where there was just a slight little hole, and he said, all right, I'm putting my head down, and I'm just plowing right through. And sometimes you have to do that. So kudos to him. I got to give him You know, I've always been hard on him, so I got to give him some positive vibes here, too.
And when he got his hands on those screen passes as well, he is a factor in the passing game and can help this team out quite a bit, no matter if he's running the ball, he's catching the ball, or he's blocking for Aaron Rodgers. Brandon Jackson is a big part of the team.
Yeah, he really has become. I mean, I love the screens. It's funny. I mean, ironically, the screens work today despite the offensive line because they still block nobody on the screen. But the Vikings were just so fooled. They were so fooled that there was just nobody there to, you know, to do anything with.
Yeah.
There was such an open area for Lee on both of his. Although I will say Scott Wells did make a block on the second Lee screen. But other than that, it was just Jackson and Lee just running free there. It was that open. So good job with the screens there. However, you know, there's got to be a little negative too. Mike McCarthy is still making me pull my hair out, this guy. This game did not have to be this close. It did not have to be this close. 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, throw a 5-yard pass for a first down.
Yeah.
Drive going, keep possession, keep the ball out of Vikings' hands. Why hand it back to them?
I can't wait to watch the film tomorrow to look at the times the Packers had 3rd and short and were throwing the ball down the field. You're exactly correct. It's not like it happened all the time, but it happened enough. Al, I'm losing you on Skype here. I'm going to let you go, but I will talk about that. Thank you for calling in. Thanks, everybody. JerseyAl.com. Check it out. One of the best Packers bloggers on the internet. And I'm sorry, Al, that we were just getting garbled there at the end, as happens on Skype once in a while. But anyhow, on the screens, let me take a call here. Well, we'll get to these. Everybody wants to talk, and I understand. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV post-game show. Who do we have joining us?
It's me again, Brian.
Okay, here we go.
We sound better now?
Yes, you're much better.
Okay. We were just saying the first drive of the second half, they had a 3rd and 2, and, you know, they throw the ball deep and hand the ball right back to the Vikings. And then, you know, 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, 3rd and 3, let's throw the ball down the field and give the ball back to the Vikings so they can march down the field.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that at all.
Yeah.
And then you've got the 4th and short balls, you know, the 4th and short, okay, hand off to Kuhn. Very lucky that he gets the first down the first time. There was nothing there. The whole line got pushed back.
Mm-hmm.
Second opportunity, let's do the same thing. Yeah, that worked really well.
Yeah, they went to the well a couple too many times there. And, as I was saying, I can't wait to watch the game film and see how many times exactly it was where it was 3rd and short and they go long.
Yeah, I look to reading your post on that.
Yeah, so thanks, Druziel, for calling in.
One more positive. Mike McCarthy does tease it.
Again, I'm losing you, Al. I'm sorry. So I garbled on the Skype here, but again, thank you for calling in. So, where was I here? The Packers in the screen game, undeterred. No matter that first one, intercepted by Jared Allen, and the Packers haven't had much success in the screen game all year long. You know, they're John Kuhn dropping passes and Brandon Jackson in the land of the trees, you know, getting amongst the offensive linemen, and Aaron Rodgers can't even find them. You know, just multiple problems in the screen game, but staying undeterred, you know, bringing some later in the game, Brandon Jackson hitting some, the tight end screen working well today, and maybe that's the way the Packers have to go. Donald Lee having a pretty good impact on the game, two catches today, both screens, and I believe both going for first downs. And maybe that's what they need. They need a guy who's, you know, 6'3 or whatever Donald Lee is, somewhere near there, instead of Brandon Jackson being, you know, 5'9 or whatever he is. And Aaron Rodgers can, you know, see him and get him the ball and ran with some passion down the field. So, you know, plenty of positives and negatives from this game. The Packers certainly had their share of troubles, even though we're talking mostly positives here from a win. If anybody else wants to call in, please feel free. I know our Skype line once in a while does get a little garbled, but it seems to happen later in the phone call. So if anybody wants to call and give their comment, we should certainly, it should work. But I'm glad to be talking Packers win here with everyone, and just very exciting as the Packers finally get to Brett Favre. So, I've taken a look at some of the comments here on the live blog. Teton Twit says, hope they dial in their passing game this week and get Starks cranked up to get in the game. I wouldn't hold out much hope on James Starks getting in the game, being called up for the Packers. As sad as that might be, I wouldn't hold out much hope for that. It could happen, but I don't think the Packers are in any hurry to do so. If Al Harris and Atari Bigby weren't going to play, and they seem to be further ahead, at least in terms of being veterans, they should, you would think they'd get called up before James Starks. Take another call here. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us?
This is Abraham.
Hey, Abraham, how are you doing today?
Hey, pretty good. Solid win. Can't complain too much about a win, I guess.
I'll try. What's on your mind?
Well, I do have to commend Mastay for his, I think it was only two punts, but they were two very solid punts, so I think he keeps his job at least for another week.
Yes, he has a job next week. No, good. I'm glad you brought that up, because first of all, it's fantastic that the Packers only punted twice today, but Mastay punted twice. One of them was inside the 20. One was 51 yards. And, just great job. I'm glad you brought that up, Abraham. What else?
I think this is kind of echoing what Jersey Allen said earlier, but it's really perplexing to me just how many times, McCarthy calls fullback dive on third or fourth and short, and how often on third, three, or four, which is not necessarily short, but, certainly very manageable. It's, two deep streak patterns or something like that, and just nothing. I can understand not running the ball a ton because, quite frankly, all your weapons are in the wide receiver and the tight ends, mm-hmm. but In a West Coast system, if you're not going to utilize that underneath patterns, it's just not going to, you can't move the chains enough.
Very good, Abraham. I'll address that. Thanks for calling into the show. I appreciate it. And thanks for watching Cheesehead TV. Thanks, Abraham. McCarthy certainly is not coming out of this game without some criticism. As big as a win as this was for the Green Bay Packers, a lot of people disappointed in the play calling, as it seems here. Abraham bringing up several points here that, I like how he said putting the ball in the hands of the playmakers. You know, the best players on your team are Donald Driver and Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings and James Jones. And, you know, you can perhaps maybe even throw Andrew Corliss in there too now. And why not get those guys on some slants and underneath routes and things like that? Whereas you're running these dives, and of course, the couple of the dives with John Kuhn not working today. So, you know, that's a negative coming out of the game. And you can, I suppose you can see when it's, you know, third and one, fourth and one, that you're going to want to get the ball to a guy who's really only, you know, 2 yards behind you, who's really close to the line of scrimmage, a guy who's got some power and can churn out some yards. So I can see that coming with Kuhn. But yeah, it's, and when they don't get those tough yards, then it looks bad. But we saw the return of the slant today, and I saw some people comment on that a couple minutes ago on the live blog. Perhaps Jersey L made a comment on that you know, our colleague here at Cheesehead TV, Aaron Nagler, was one of the first people really harping on that last week when the Packers had, you know, such troubles in the passing game that there was nothing underneath for Aaron Rodgers to go to, and here they are trying to chuck the ball downfield when really, when you just got to get a couple yards and get a first down. You don't need to always be going down the field, even though that would be nice if it's there. But it frequently isn't. So, but, you know, early in the game, the Packers had success on the slant. Greg Jennings getting a couple there. And a couple run-pass option plays. I'm not, maybe a couple, one or two. I remember Jordy Nelson catching one. And, you know, just taking what the Packers are giving them. And you know, good job overall in the passing game. Overall, even though we did have those two unsightly Aaron Rodgers interceptions. That makes 9 interceptions on the season by Aaron Rodgers. 9 interceptions. Aaron Rodgers only threw 7 all of last season. Who is this person? Who is this person? I'm seeing some tweets coming in from the Mike McCarthy press conference, it looks like, from Kareem Copeland and Paige Pearson and Kareem says Collins injured his knee. I didn't really see that. I don't remember when that happened. I mean, maybe he just kind of played through it the whole game and nothing came of it. McCarthy said Jenkins strained his calf an hour before the game. Pickett re-injured his ankle and left the game. Okay, now this brings up a good point here where we can start talking about defensive line for a while here. There's lots to talk about on the defensive line. First of all, I'm not entirely sure Ryan Pickett should have been playing in this game. 2 weeks after a sprained ankle is still pretty early. Sprained ankles are not devastating, do not end seasons, but 2 weeks is like the minimum you can come back from, almost. And even then, you're going to be hobbled for weeks. You're not going to be 100% till weeks later. And so he goes and gets injured this game. Now, here the Packers are, probably without Mike Neal for the rest of the year. Pickett goes and re-injures his ankle. And here the Packers are going to be forced, like they were today. Your defensive linemen are going to be B.J. Raji, Jarius Wynn, and C.J. Wilson. And credit, you know, C.J. Wilson, you know, all those guys had points in the game when, you know, they were successful. Oppie says the Collins injury was on his interception late in the game. Yeah, Yeah, I guess I didn't catch that. I was busy trying to get ready for this post-game show here, and I was kind of in and out watching the game, listening to it on the radio. So, Cullen Jenkins, that was a surprise to everyone. Seeing him out of the game, straining his calf a half hour before the game. You know, and the Packers didn't even, you know, have a chance to you know, deactivate him when they have to have their inactive list in an hour and a half before the game. Not like that would have mattered much anyway. I suppose you would have saw Mike Montgomery play, perhaps, today. And as Jersey L points, he might play next week. And as Taylor Poneal says, points out, TJ Lang playing in the jumbo package today. There's probably three different points in the game where TJ Lang was on the field. And, you know, it's going to stay that way. I don't care if Mike Montgomery is activated next week. He's not going to be in the jumbo package, in goal line situations and things like that, short yardage situations. Wow, I mean, how far has this defensive line fallen? And you can go back to Johnny Jolly being suspended in the offseason. You can go back that far. I mean, Johnny Jolly was the best defensive lineman on this team last year, and it's like people have already forgotten about him, Johnny Jolly deserves to be forgotten about, no doubt, but, you know, just looking at a depth standpoint and all the hits the Packers have taken with Jolly and now Jenkins and Neal and Pickett and Justin Harrell and, you know, the list goes on. And you know, Mex Pack says, I think C.J. Wilson played a solid game, and he did. C.J. Wilson is getting better seemingly every snap of the game. Every snap he plays, you know, from the beginning of the year, just when he was getting spot duty. I can remember when C.J. Wilson got his first playing time of the year against the Buffalo Bills, and he played late in the fourth quarter when they were leading and got a little bit of a pass rush on, and people were like, hey, this guy might be all right. And he still hadn't played much till then until tonight. We got his most playing time of the season, and C.J. Wilson putting a nice hit on Brett Favre on the interception return of Desmond Bishop, which was really good. I think it was at that point, too, it seemed like, that Brett Favre started hobbling around a little bit more. So, C.J. Wilson, hopefully he's up to task, because he's going to keep seeing plenty of time as time goes on here. Taylor Poneal pointing out Pepper and Bishop both stepped up and played really well. Yeah, I mean, Charlie Pepper, you know, certainly held off any thoughts that Anthony Smith might be playing here. You know, Charlie Pepper, I'm sure, had to be scared when the Packers made that transaction and thinking perhaps that, you know, Anthony Smith is going to take some playing time away from him, maybe his starting job away. You don't know when Atari Bigby's going to be back. And Charlie Pepper just is playing solid, not great, but solid, and holding his ground. And Bishop, wow. Folks, if you look through the archives of Pro Football Focus, which is a pretty good statistical website that not a lot of people know about, in week 5 against the Washington Redskins, Pro Football Focus had rated out, scored out Desmond Bishop as the best, having the best performance by an inside linebacker in their website's history, a one-game performance. And while I think that might be a stretch, that it was the best, the website isn't all that old for one thing, but I mean, still, I mean, you're talking about competing against guys like Ray Lewis here. But no, I do like Pro Football Focus, though, and Desmond Bishop did have a very good game in Week 5 against the Redskins. And Desmond Bishop, you know, playing last week against the Dolphins and then this week with the huge interception. I mean, he is just, you know, doing fantastic. You couldn't ask of anything more of him. You know, comment here, Bishop should be starting over Barnett if he's still around next year. We'll see next year when that comes around. That call might be a little bit premature yet. My mind is open to that, but let's see how this season plays out. And it was against the Vikings that Desmond Bishop, you know, had some troubles in the past against Adrian Peterson. And Desmond Bishop did get burned in the run game at points today as well. You know, he didn't come out of this unscathed. Desmond Bishop likes to take chances. He will really, you know, rush up to the line of scrimmage with a head full of steam and take a chance that he's going to meet the ball carrier. And he doesn't always win those gambles. And same thing with Charlie Pepper on the run by, I believe it was Percy Harvin, too. He gambled on coming up near the line of scrimmage and found the wrong hole. Maybe that was the Peterson touchdown run. But anyway, yes. Desmond Bishop and Charlie Pepper, for the most part, I agree, are doing well for the Packers. They're not reasons Packers are losing games, and they have contributed to the wins. Packers go into game next week against the New York Jets. Huge game. Wow, I mean, there was so much emotion around this game. I find it hard to believe it could ever live up to this game, but wow. I mean, just wait, folks, until the stories come out this week and the Packers heading into the Meadowlands against one of the better teams. We talked about earlier how there's no teams, you know, in the NFL really wanting to step out this year and be just a, you know, fantastic team. But the Jets are one of the better ones. And the Packers have to go on a road in their new stadium. And all these things about Rex Ryan last year are going to come back to the fore once again. Just wait for that. Remember last year, you know, Charles Woodson won the Defensive Player of the Year. And Rex Ryan had some comments about that, saying Darrelle Revis should have won. And, you know, just really kind of undermining the fantastic, fantastic season Charles Woodson had a year ago. All this is going to come back, you know, just screaming. And it's just a big game. Jersey L says the Jets will bring pressure like you've never seen. And yeah, the Packers are going to have to be ready for that. How about the offensive line today in pass blocking? Preventing a pass rush from the Vikings. I haven't mentioned that yet. I don't think the Packers gave up a single sack today. And that is a credit to the offensive line. And a credit to Aaron Rodgers as well. Am I correct? They didn't give up a sack. I can't remember. Did they give one up late? They did not. The Packers did not give up a sack. Just a fantastic job. Chad Clifton against Jared Allen. Brian Bulaga against Ray Edwards. And all around, just fantastic job. And good job by Aaron Rodgers for getting rid of the ball, too. You know, this game against New York is a big one here at Cheesehead TV. You know, when if you go to our homepage, I know it's taken over by the live blog right now and our broadcast, but when you get a chance tomorrow or later tonight, you know, take a look at our schedule of events in New York this week. And my partner here, Corey Benke, can, let you know a little bit more about this on the live blog. He knows more about it than I do, but Cheesehead TV hosting a tweet up at Kettle of Fish on Friday night, I believe, if I'm correct. Then the opportunity to purchase tickets at a discount, I believe, for the Lombardi play on Broadway on Saturday. And, of course, the game on Sunday. And there's going to be a Cheesehead TV tailgate before the game. And I believe Jersey Al has the details on that. And if any of you want to provide a link or, give some information on the live blog, feel free. But it's just a big weekend next weekend for Cheesehead TV and a big game for the Packers. Huge game. You know, here the Packers get a little momentum going. And now they got to go on the road. Now they got to go on the road and face the Jets for another tough one. And it's hard to believe that isn't going to be a nationally televised game, isn't it? It's a noon start, isn't it, next week? Unbelievable. I mean, this next week's game against the Jets is going to be hyped up like no other. That deserves to be Sunday night football or Monday night football. Trying to look at some comments here on the live blog. Taylor Poneal says, what was up with Clifton? He's suddenly 5 years younger or what? He sure looked like it tonight. Chad Clifton looking fantastic. Smith74 comments, the offense has to get in sync. O-line have to keep establishing the run, make defenses confused. Offense has to get in sync. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Breakfast, offense has to get in sync. Yeah, the Packers did have some problems today being on the same page. Aaron Rodgers and his receivers, some looking for, to streak down the field. Aaron Rodgers looking for the comeback. That is a little bit troubling. I mean it certainly wasn't a big factor in the game. The Packers were able to overcome that, but you saw it enough tonight where Aaron Rodgers wasn't even close to his intended targets, and it was because he was seeing something that the receivers weren't. And that's, we were talking before about the Packers going deep on third and short, and as much as you can put the blame on the receivers a little bit once in a while too, as much as Aaron Rodgers, maybe they should be looking for those comeback routes, and they weren't always on third and short, I know that, but, looking for those comeback routes. They were there at times. Looking at the comments on the live blog here, you guys are cracking me up about your comments on Brett Favre. We even have Jen Sturger on our live blog, or at least somebody pretending to be Jen Sturger. I wish I could watch right now Brett Favre's press conference. I'm sure he's just dejected. Am I correct, folks? I mean, I'm sure he is just barely audible. I can see him right now just being quiet as a mouse and barely speaking. And boy, that feels good to think about that, as much as he's put the Packers through the ringer over the years. Packers had 6 quarterback hits on the day. You know, they only got home once. And, you know, they didn't put a ton of pressure on Brett Favre, which was a little bit troubling itself. And I suppose a lot of that had to do because they had to gear up to stop the run. You know, they played quite a bit of base defense because they had to stop Adrian Peterson. I mean, the pass rush didn't come toward, you know, the second half, and especially near the end of the game, when the Vikings had to throw the ball, you know, at the very end, their last possession of the game, you know, you knew the Vikings weren't going to run at that point when they had to conserve time and, you know, keep their timeouts as much as they could. And, you know, at that point, the Packers could pass rush with abandon. But, you know, prior to that, they didn't get a whole lot of pressure on Favre, especially the first half of the game. And Clay Matthews did not play a factor. Was Clay Matthews on the field in the first half? He might as not have well have been. You know, he just did very little. You know, he certainly came around toward the end of the game and you know, helped the Packers out, getting a little bit of a pass rush. But, you know, in the first half of the game, Matthews did not have a single tackle. I kind of wonder how much his hamstring is still bothering him. Boy, the bye week can't come soon enough for the Packers, where they can just rest. You know, even if Clay Matthews isn't healthy, he's still got to come back right next week and play against the Jets. Just laughing, looking at the Brett Favre comments on the live blog. Just look in comments. When they did pressure Favre, it resulted in 3 INTs. And you're exactly right. That when they did get pressure when it mattered, near the end of the game, with the game on the line. And so that's good as well. So, you know, there's, again here, you know, I'm trying to play devil's advocate a little bit, trying to come up with some speaking points here and, you know, things that the Packers will be looking at as they, you know, do their own film research of the game. And, you know, I can't wait to hear Mike McCarthy's press conference tomorrow, one day after, you know, 24 hours. It won't even be 24 hours, but, before he talks again, but after having a night to sleep on it, where he thinks the Packers are. Pat Lee looking okay on kick returns today. It was certainly his best performance as a kick returner in his audition. I don't know if I should call it an audition anymore, but Pat Lee looking okay today. Certainly looked like he can stay back there instead of Jordy Nelson and maybe have a little bit of success. Showed a little burst on a couple returns, a little slipperiness. Some of them running more east-west than north-south, but no, he shot through a couple gaps there during the game, and you know, I think he got a return or two of about 30 yards that was okay. Certainly nothing too much wrong to talk about the Packers special teams after a game like this. Doing okay. special teams coming through. Like we said before, the Packers only punted twice the whole night. Doing fine there. They didn't force a whole lot of punts. But, I mean, that's not on the back of the special teams, though. I mean, that's you're talking about defense there and forcing punts. But, you know, starting to wrap up this win here, you know, one more time, just the Packers, you know, such a huge key game in the division. You know, to go to 4-3 overall, you now have a winning record. You're 2-1 against division opponents. They got to face every team once from here on out. Got to go to Detroit, go to Minnesota. Neither of those games are going to be easy. And they get Chicago at home the last game of the year. But no, it's good to have a winning record within the division. You know, this... The Packers can still be a good team. As many injuries as they've had. You know, JerMichael Finley, Nick Barnett, the list goes on. The Packers can still be good. If Aaron Rodgers can really cut down on these interceptions, 9 this year, if he can cut down on that, the Packers can be a very good team yet. And they would have tremendous momentum if they can come out of the Meadowlands with a win next weekend against the Jets. Tremendous momentum. Then they come back home for another game, for a game against the Cowboys, the struggling Dallas Cowboys, at home. And that's the last game before the bye week. Get a little rest. Boy, would that be big for the Packers. I don't care that the Cowboys are bad this year, just the history and tradition they bring. A win over that team would be big no matter what. And Hoppy points out, then they go back to the Metrodome, take on the Vikings once again. Boy, you know, Brett Favre, really, some of those interceptions were just, you know, the ones to the linebackers, A.J. Hawk and Desmond Bishop, I mean, those were not, those linebackers didn't even really make those plays. It's not like Desmond Bishop and A.J. Hawk really flew up and had to make an INT. The ball just came to him, and you know, good for A.J. Hawk and Desmond Bishop for making the interceptions instead of dropping them, but so credit them for that. But wow, I mean, just Favre making bad plays there, and the Packers capitalizing on it. You gotta capitalize on mistakes, and the Packers did. And then the first interception of the game, when Aaron Rodgers threw the interception to Jared Allen, the defense held a 3-and-out, and they didn't let that turnover come back to bite them whatsoever at all. So that's a positive. Not letting those turnovers come back to bite them. Especially that first one early in the game. You know, the Packers could have gotten down early or even more so than they were at halftime. But yet the Packer defense, you know, held when they needed to, did what they had to, and just got by. flickery comments. Collins' INT was ridiculous, though, and I agree. Nick Collins made that INT. He made the play on that. That one didn't come to him. That was all on Nick Collins, and that's fantastic. And Nick Collins is having another Pro Bowl season for the Packers. It's a good thing they gave him the payday this offseason. Just great. Thanks, everyone, for joining us this evening. Thanks for joining us on Cheesehead TV during the game. Big thank you goes out there to our moderator, Jamie Jors, our live blog moderator, producing the show tonight, Corey Benke, remotely from New York City, staying up late. Thanks, Corey. It's past midnight over there. Getting to be midnight here. And stay tuned for our post-game coverage. As soon as I'm done with the show, I'm going to hopefully get up the chips report post, blue chips, red chips, and cow chips, and get that before I go to bed for the evening here. And we'll have all sorts of post-game coverage on Cheesehead TV tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on the show tonight. Packers win 28-24. Let that end your weekend on a good note, and take us into the rest of the week, and another big week here this next week as the Packers head into New York Jets territory. That's going to do it for tonight, folks. Once again, thanks for joining us on CheeseheadTV.com. Don't be strangers. Join us again. We'll see you later.